This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
With the 10th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, Tennessee.
All right.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Jay, we got Jay Moore, we got you on a Bears draft reaction Friday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for watching the show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. And Cap, there it was. Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears and the staff, got their guy, Darnell Wright, offensive tackle for Tennessee, now part of the Chicago Bears.
I was so excited to see our GM put his money where his mouth is with his draft capital. Address the biggest, most glaring hole on your football team other than your D-line stopping the run. Protect your asset, your quarterback. And thank goodness they passed on Jalen Carter. I was told he was never even in consideration. Once they did their work, they were done. They loved Darnell Wright, and they were absolutely locked in on the Tennessee right tackle. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Now let's see what they do with the remaining 9 picks. But it's about your greatest asset. Is he my guy or not? There's no excuses now. I got you, DJ Moore. I got you, Darnell Wright. I think they're going to add a center here on day 2, whether it's the kid they like, the kid at Penn State, the kid at Ohio State, the kid at Wisconsin, the kid at Minnesota. 4 Big Ten centers they did a ton of work on. They did explore late last night trying to trade back into the first round. I think it was for Nolan Smith, but we'll see. He ended up going to Philadelphia, who had a monster night. But what they did is they added a solid, just a road grader out there. A guy who has a bit of nasty, as Ryan Poles talked about. And you plug and play this kid. And as Lewis Riddick said, I think within 3 years, he's an all-pro. I think within 5 years, he could be the best player out of the 2023 draft. The entire draft. Pretty cool.
Let's hear from Darnell Wright last night as he was chosen by the Chicago Bears.
What up, man? How you doing? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm a little bit in shock, a little bit. I'm just trying to see him. You know what I mean? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm happy. Thank you, man. Thank you. Tell Coach Poles, thank you. Tell Coach Poles, thank you.
Which is amazing because Darnell Wright's on the phone talking to the Chicago Bears, and there's where he found out. There's where he got the information that he's going to be a Chicago Bear. It's very simple for me, folks. The Chicago Bears need to have someone on the offensive line. And the general manager of the Chicago Bears just happens to be an offensive lineman. It's funny because, Cap, I believe that in some ways, Poles gave us a little bit of information, a little bit of a wink and a nod in our conversation that we had with him in Indianapolis at the Combine. I told him, hey, put your offensive lineman cap on. Let's talk a little bit about this whole line. He goes, no, it's always on. My offensive line cap is always on. And so when you hear from Poles and he looks at that offensive line, he says, okay, what can I do to help Justin Fields the most? Could I go defensive line? Could I go wide receiver? Could I go running back? No. He looks at the glaring number that everyone knows, that Justin Fields was sacked 55 times last season, and Chicago allowed pressure on 39.5% of dropbacks. That's the worst in the National Football League. Who can I get to try to protect Justin Fields? Oh, I know. How about this big difference maker from the Volunteers, Darnell Wright? He allowed 0 sacks and 850 snaps last year. That's how good Darnell Wright is. The Bears now have picks 53, 61, and 64. But, Cap, to me, this is a no-brainer because we had our choices at offensive line. They didn't get Johnson from Ohio State. They didn't get him. But they got someone I think is just as good or maybe better in Darnell Wright. And here's why. You can watch any game, right? And what we look at, our eyes follow the football. We look at the quarterback play. We look at the skill position guys. And all I know is that the aforementioned Jalen Carter, where was he against Darnell Wright? Oh, he was stopped at the line of scrimmage. Because you'd say, as a Georgia fan, hey, how come we can't get home on their quarterback? Because Darnell Wright was a big part of that. That's why.
Monster.
Look at the tape. Him one-on-one against Jalen Carter. Just his hands up, being able to make sure that his quarterback was protected. That's what I want for the Chicago Bears. When the first word about Darnell Wright, oh, Darnell Wright, nasty. That's all you need. That's all you need to know. A guy that's going to have Justin Fields back and a guy that won't be a leaky faucet on that offensive line. That's good. That's a good pick by the Chicago Bears.
You always like to call it an iron gate. And that's what the Bears are trying to build. They've got Braxton Jones on the left. Is he the guy long term? Not sure. I don't know if they're sure. He's training with Olin Krutz, and he's trying to get stronger and get a better base. You've got this kid coming in on the right side. Now just put the seeds in the ground. Water it. Get him stronger. It's not going to happen overnight. They're building this thing the right way. The last time they had sustained success was in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Lovie had some sustained success. They didn't go to the playoffs very often. They had that one jump up and go to the Super Bowl time. But when they had, I'm talking about homegrown sustained success, I talked about it the other day. They drafted Dennis Slick and Ted Albrecht and Keith Van Horn and Jimbo Covert, and they added Jay Hilgenberg and Mark Bortz. They kept throwing assets at the offensive line. Keep doing it. Get yourself a young, aggressive, intelligent center who can identify. There's the Mike linebacker. 55's the Mike. That's what we need. We need to build.
I know Generation Y and Generation Z rolls their eyes at us when we bring up the Ditka Bears, right? Mm-hmm. That era.
They do.
But the only reason why that we bring this up, Cap, is because we're talking about how teams are built. That's the last good time that we could talk about the Bears being able to build a team toward a championship. And the reason why we'll bring up the 80s again is because of Darnell Wright. At 10, this is the first time Chicago has selected a player on the offensive line in the top 10 since 1983 when they took the aforementioned Jimbo Covert at 6. So that's why it's important. The reason why, we're just giving you history. We're not living in the past. We're just telling you that the way things are built in organizations today, like the Eagles and Kansas City, Seattle for a long time and others build, is they say, okay, well, we got to have protection for our quarterback. We got to be able to have guys that can rush the passer. So when we bring this up, we talk about how the Bears started from nothing in the late 70s under Ditka, building it up to a franchise that was a perennial winner.
And Finks. And he's the one that put the blueprint in.
Yeah, but the perennial winner.
Correct.
It came from being able to put together an offensive line and difference makers so you could have those guys around for a decade or more. So when you think about Jimbo Covert, a great player, not saying that that's who Darnell Wright is, but I understand the philosophy that they're trying to do at Hallis Hall.
Completely agree. And I keep hearing they want to take a center reasonably high now in the second or third round. We'll see who's on the board. You can have all the plans in the world, and the good Lord laughs and goes, no, sorry, he's gone. That guy's taken. So we'll see what they do there. I just love that they did not outthink things, and I love you're sitting there at 9. Okay, our guy's on the board. We can take him right here. The Eagles are like, we want Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Okay, you want Jalen Carter? We're thinking of taking him. No, they're not. He wasn't even on their board.
Well, before you knew that, let's talk about that for a second. I just want to know your feeling because I was not with you last night.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know your feeling because I'll tell you mine. So you go through the draft and we'll break it down because it was a wacky, wild draft early in the first round. So here comes the number 9 pick. And before we knew that there was a flip between the Bears and the Eagles, you're like, hey, Jalen Carter's still on the board. Uh-oh. Hang on a second. Because we speculated that this is a top 10 talent. Whatever you think of Jalen Carter on and off the field, that's a top 10 talent.
You're correct.
Whatever evaluators think of Jalen Carter, I told you over the last few weeks, hey, man, he may not pop to you on film, but he learned how to play defense from a great defense where Kirby Smart in Georgia. He'll find a way to get home to the quarterback. He will have that motor on the next level because he was surrounded with so much defensive talent. There's guys pushing Carter back like, I got this guy. I got the quarterback. Not you. I got him. I got linebackers that's getting after the quarterback. I got other linemen. And Carter was lost in the sauce. There's no doubt about that. But there was some plays that made me think, he's going to be a good splash player, a solid, decent player in the National Football League. So I just want to know your gut reaction. Before you knew the flip, he's like, wait a minute. Here comes the ninth pick. Oh, God.
Okay.
Carter's still on the board. What's happening now?
Okay, so at pick eight is going to be Bijan Robinson.
Nailed that one, didn't we?
Okay, yeah, there you go. So before they announced that pick on TV, and there's, you can ask Danny, the scene was amazing. Amazing. They took photos of the Bears from up above. They're like, this is incredible. Like, they've never had that.
No.
There were hundreds and hundreds of people in front of my little set. Waddle and Sylvie had a ton up there. There were 6,000 people. Every ticket was sold out. And people were so excited, all decked out in their Bears gear. And so, before Bijan Robinson's off the board, we already know. Because the Bears had a floor director the set that I'm hosting on. So he takes his headset off. He's like, running back just went to Atlanta. And I'm watching the TV, and they're in commercial break. It's not even up there.
Sure.
Really? He said, yeah. And don't say anything yet. We're trading down. What?
And you're thinking, how far?
Because as soon as he said running back, I'm like, oh, son of a gun. I've been clear. I don't want Jalen Carter if I had five number ones. Mm-hmm. Don't want him. We don't have the infrastructure. I'm talking of players that hold a guy like that accountable and teach him how to be a pro. The Eagles, perfect spot for that kid. Fletcher Cox and Hassan Reddick and Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey. They've got all that. We do not. Can't take a chance. So I'm thinking, oh boy, they're going to take Jalen Carter. Please don't do this. And then he turns around and goes, we're going back. Eagles are coming up to get Carter. Oh, thank God. What are we going to do? I'm thinking, okay, here comes Pittsburgh. They're going to go to 11, and we're going farther back down. And as you said, don't keep just trading. And I got more picks. Eventually, you got to pick somebody.
Yes.
And when they said, we're taking the kid from Tennessee, bam, there we go. I liked Paris Johnson Jr. 1, this kid 2. Those were my two guys on the offensive line. And then I liked Nolan Smith. The Eagles got him 2.
I'm thinking to myself, as I'm watching the Hood Cave yesterday, I'm thinking, okay, so you're at 9, and because you're just watching television. I'm not privy with any inside information, you know, phones off. I'm just watching. And all of a sudden, it's just like, well, Jalen Carter's still there at 9. Well, here we go. I've been saying that he's a top 10 pick. Will the Bears take him at 10? And I'm thinking, well, you need help on the defensive line. You know they need help on the offensive line, but there's still good offensive linemen there. And then when we come to find out that they swap picks with the Eagles, I said, oh, Carter, now what are the Bears going to do? Now the world's their oyster at 10, and they get someone who I think is pretty solid. So, again, this is a situation I think at 9 and 10 that helps both teams. And we'll get into it as we move forward here this morning. But your thoughts on the Bears taking Darnell Wright, what does that mean for Justin Fields? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We'll hear more from Darnell Wright on what it's like to play for the Chicago Bears and playing with Justin Fields. What's your reaction coming up next? The Bears get Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle for the Chicago Bears. Let's get your thoughts on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The Chicago Bears get offensive tackle Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. We're talking to you about it. 312-332-3776 after all of these weeks and months trying to figure out what the Bears are going to do. They get a guy that can protect Justin Fields. 0 sacks allowed and 850 snaps with Tennessee. And again, Cap, you know, I can look at a college football game and I'm watching the fly of the ball. And I would wonder, how come no one can get home on the Tennessee quarterback? Well, it wasn't like I was like firmly entrenched in the offensive line with binoculars on. Who's that kid down there? then you get to the draft, you read it like, oh, he's one of the reasons why that the Georgia defense couldn't get there, because he's that good.
So they asked Will Anderson, the new Texan, who had a great night, the Texans. They paid a stiff price to get number two and number three. But, Will, who's the toughest guy you face this year? Darnell Wright, University of Tennessee.
Brother.
Oh, my God.
Brother.
Go put that tape on, because you can find it. Just do a little deep dive. Holy bleep, did he dominate him. And Will Anderson, to his credit, who's very mature. He's not the most charismatic. Like, Tyree Wilson has that charisma thing about him, picking up the commissioner, the suit that he wore, the whole deal. Will Anderson just balls. And Will Anderson said, that guy? He dominated.
Monster. Darnell Wright, new Chicago Bear. What's it going to be like playing with the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I can play both sides if needed. I mean, I know I'm coming into a room that I just want to earn the respect of those guys first. But I could play probably anywhere on the line. I mean, and just my athleticism will speak for itself. And then I just want to get better and better at my technique. It's rare that you get to go somewhere that you really get to get coached by somebody that you really like, and that you really feel like can take your game to the next level. And that's what I feel like Simo could do for me. I mean, he already told me it's going to be hard. Like, but I never shied away from hard. I just want to get the best out of myself. And I think Coach Simo is going to be perfect for me. That's what I'm there for. Is for anything he needs is that's my job, to keep him clean. Amazing quarterback. And, you know, the things he does, we're going to have a great team. Like, we're going to have a very good team. It's going to be great.
So thoughts there from Darnell Wright.
That's football porn.
No question.
As a former person who made his living going to try and recruit kids to play basketball, when you hear that kid, how polished? Now, it was Coach Simo. Obviously, there's a relationship right there. Mm-hmm. A. B. I just want to get the respect of the guys already in that room. I can play on either side, but I want their respect first. And he said it's going to be hard. That's good. I want to be pushed. I want to be great. Oh, man. Sign me the hell up.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. The Bears get right. What does this mean for Justin Fields? Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. By the way, still to come, we're going to hear from Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. She'll be with us coming up at 7:35. Listening on the ESPN Chicago app in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here's Mariano on ESPN 1000. All right, Mariano,
hey,
good morning.
Guys. Thanks for taking my call, guys. First off, I got to say, Cap, great job hosting the event yesterday. I was actually wondering if you can MC my birthday party. Joking, but not joking.
Call me.
But as a Bear fan in Wisconsin, it was so nice to see the Packers whiff on another draft pick. And as a Bear fan, us taking that safe pick, taking our, you know, offensive lineman to protect Justin Fields for the next decade. Thanks, guys.
All right, we appreciate your telephone call. St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Flex on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Flex.
Cap, Hood, hey, thanks for taking my call. First and foremost, Pauls came in saying that he was going to be the offensive line. He's going to build it. He's going to build it from the ground up. Taking Darnell Wright is a gold jacket for him. His first pick is a gold jacket over Caleb. Forget about that guy. I wouldn't be surprised if Pauls pull off that center from Ohio State. That'd be his number two pick today. I wouldn't be surprised if he go that route and then take the next two, three, and four and go defense. Hey, that's my spin on it, but I got to tell you, that pick there, that's a gold jacket.
All right, Flex.
You're a man.
We appreciate the telephone call. Just very briefly, Cap, on Jalen Carter. And the reason why we bring him up now that he's a Philadelphia Eagle is because we spent so much time and had so many calls on what you would do if you're Ryan Poles if you get Jalen Carter. We know the story, the background from Jalen Carter. Made a few phone calls the last few days about Jalen Carter around the Georgia program. What we know about Jalen Carter, there's actually more, Cap. There's actually more. And those are not positive reports that I received from Athens regarding Jalen Carter. So some things that has not been reported that's on the resume of Jalen Carter. But what I guess the bigger point is that it's a troubled young man that needs an attitude adjustment. And I think that going to the Eagles is something that you and I speculated was the right thing for him to be with a team with infrastructure. I thought maybe Seattle, because of Pete Carroll, because they have dealt with players with the troubled past before or going through issues, but the Eagles is the right spot. When you have Fletcher Cox, we have Jason Kelce in the room. And then when you take a look at the Eagles, I think the Eagles should just be able to start planting some hedges. Just plant some hedges around the Lincoln Financial Field, their stadium, because it'll feel more like Georgia. Just plant some hedges.
Between the hedges.
Yeah, because you got Jordan Davis, you got N'Kobe Dean, you got Nolan Smith, and now you've got this young man, Carter. You got a lot of Georgia guys, guys that he knows. So not only the veteran leadership, Howie Roseman as a general manager, but he's got teammates on the team that will set him straight. Whatever you were going through in college, kid, that doesn't work here in the National Football League. We'll show you the way. That's the proper thing. The Bears don't have that. For better or for worse, the Bears just don't have that veteran leadership and that infrastructure in that front office to handle Carter. That's why he's not a Bear this morning.
It also sounded like he was not on the Bears board and he was not on the Seahawks board, where a lot of people thought, okay, Pete Carroll's 70 years old. He's been around forever. Players love playing for that dude. And it's John Schneider, their general manager. It sounds like they were never, ever going to take him. And he's sitting there, perfect knee, everything. Nope, they did not.
I mean, again, I believe that he's going to be a solid player. But it's more than that, though. It's about the individual. What happens when the lights go off and you're not playing football? What do you do then? I'm not saying he's going to shoot up a grocery store. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when you found yourself in some issues while you were at Georgia, are you going to grow up now you're in the National Football League, or will you fall back into the same trap?
With millions of dollars already guaranteed to you. That was the real concern I heard that multiple teams had. Okay, he got a wake-up call, a horrific one with what happened. Now we're giving him millions of dollars. Is he going to fly straight and be motivated?
Right. And so, but I understand why the Bears or some teams said, we don't have the support system in place to help the young man.
Correct.
So we're just going to pass. And the Eagles said, okay, well, we do. And if he's a bust, that's okay. We're the Eagles. We'll find a way.
Correct.
Right? That's the difference. You can make a mistake when you're a really good team, a Kansas City, some of those other upper echelon teams, perennial playoff teams.
We're rolling the dice, but we're swinging for a grand slam. Maybe he's Warren Sapp and goes to the Hall of Fame.
That's the hope for the young man.
Hope so. And if he doesn't, they move on.
So, I mean, so I love what the Bears are able to do. And the other thing, too, Cap, that we've got to dive into with Darnell Wright, there's flexibility with Darnell Wright on the offensive line. He played three different positions on the offensive line when he was at Tennessee. So when we do the musical chairs thing of, okay, so where does he fit? Well, I mean, anywhere he wants, that's the answer.
Look, they're going to slot him in, I heard last night, at right tackle. That's his spot.
Yes.
You're right there. Did you see what Larry Borum did last night?
Mm-mm.
They announced the pick. Jay Moore has the pick there. Mm-hmm. With the 10th selection in the first round, Chicago Bears select Darnell Wright. There it is. Darnell Wright. Offensive line, Tennessee. And he tweeted. Did you see this, Jay? Tweeted, LOL.
What's so funny?
Damn!
And then he deleted it.
What's so funny? Oh, you think that should be you in that spot?
Right.
Do something about it.
I said to, who was I talking to? Was it Danny? I was talking to somebody there last night. They're like, oh, God. What would you have done? What should he have done there? You know what he should have tweeted? Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Chicago Bears family, Darnell Wright. And I'm going to work as hard as I can to be a part of the best offensive line room in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Period.
Or Jay Moore, stay off social media.
Or do that.
Yeah. That's always the key. I got to tell you, there's nothing a player does that bugs me more, and this is any athlete in any sport, than get on Twitter and talk about your problems with your team. That is the dumbest thing you can do as an athlete.
Larry, could you come in for a second? Yeah, Ryan. What's so funny? What do you mean? No, what's so funny? What's so effing funny? Nothing. Well, I got here a deleted tweet. You're laughing when we made our pick. What's so funny? No, I was just, it was a friend of mine.
I just had Twitter fingers, man.
Can I tell you something?
Sorry, bro.
You want to laugh? You want to laugh with another team? Or do you want to get on board? Nah, I'm just...
I'm cool.
Get out.
What's get so, in gym.
Yeah, what's so funny? You had to compete with that guy.
Right.
He's going to take your spot right. while you're laughing.
Right.
What's so funny? If we let me tell you, if you did your job, we wouldn't be going for an offensive lineman in the first round. How about that?
Damn.
Yeah.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. We're going to get more of your phone calls. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. But we're going to talk to Courtney Cronin as well. She was there. She'll tell us what the Bears are thinking and what we could see from the Bears in the second round of the draft. Cap'n Jay Hood on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Bears made their first selection in the National Football League draft. Offensive tackle Darnell Wright is out of Tennessee, and now with the Chicago Bears. He allowed zero sacks in 2022 over 850 snaps. The Bears now have picks 53, 61, and 64 tonight. The White Sox lost their eighth straight game yesterday, 14-5. Dylan Cease allowed 7 runs, 6 earned, and 4 innings pitched. The Sox are now 7-19, the third worst record in Major League Baseball. Sox and Rays tonight. That's a 6:07 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs beat the Padres to take a 3-game series. They took the 3-game series and improved to 14-10. The final score 5-2. The Celtics eliminate the Hawks in game 6 of their game yesterday. Jay Moore.
Cap'n Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin, who covers the Chicago Bears and the National Football League for ESPN and ESPN.com, is on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Courtney, we finally made it, the first round of the draft. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
You know how we're doing. We finally made it. After all the things you've written, all the things you've talked about, we finally got it, and it's Darnell Wright. What was your initial reaction to the choice for the Bears?
Well, I think passing over Jalen Carter is going to be a sticking point here, and that we're going to look at how both of these two picks, Darnell Wright and Jalen Carter, pan out for Philadelphia and Chicago. But it's a safe pick, but it's a good pick because you're upgrading your offensive line with one of the best pass protectors in the NFL, in college football. And I think it's funny because typically we talk about, man, this guy's great as a run blocker, but pass protection, that's where he's going to have to grow. And typically you see when you're going against NFL caliber edge rushers, that's a hard job and that takes some time to get used to. But it's kind of the opposite with Darnell Wright. You rattled off those stats and how well he played for the majority of his career at right tackle, at Tennessee. And he also has some flexibility at left tackle, at right guard. But he's kept his quarterbacks clean, and that's what the Bears brought him in here to do, probably on the right side of that offensive line with Justin Fields. And I think he takes that, I mean, he knows the responsibility and the magnitude of what he's going to be asked to do isn't lost on him. So I think it's a good pick. I just think that when we look at this in totality, passing over Jalen Carter, and Ryan Poles certainly had his reasons to do that, even if he wouldn't, you know, truly tell you publicly as to why they made that decision to trade with Philadelphia, that's what we're going to remember this pick for, and that's frankly what we're going to probably judge it on 5-6 years from now.
Okay, so I do not agree with that perspective about we're going to look and see how Jalen Carter turns out and how this kid turns out. I absolutely love this pick a million times over, Courtney. I would not have drafted, and I said this before the draft, this is not Monday morning quarterback in here, I wouldn't have taken Jalen Carter if I had 5 number ones. Because a guy
I don't believe that because I feel like we had a conversation 3 weeks ago and you asked me if I would take Jalen Carter, and knowing what we know, because again, we all think we know what's going on in those war rooms. We all think that we know all the information that's out there. we both were in agreement that they would take Jalen Carter. We can go back and find that tape.
No,
but
no.
We were both in agreement they would take Jalen Carter.
I said they might take him. I said I would not take him. I think I've been clear, Hoodie, for weeks. If you gave me five number ones, I wouldn't take Jalen Carter because I question someone who takes plays off to the degree that he does. Add in all the character stuff. On top of it, a rookie GM or a first-year GM or second-year GM who has no track record cannot take a chance on that pick blowing up in his face. Howie Roseman, okay, hold my beer. I'll get another one. I've got Fletcher Cox and all these guys that can teach him how to be a pro. I would never have taken Jalen Carter. And if he turns out great, awesome. He's in a great situation in Philadelphia with all those guys mentoring him. Here, there's no one to do that. So I thought it was a no-brainer, and I heard from people that I trust, he was never even on their board. They did all their homework and went out. Not interested. Does that surprise you?
Howie Roseman, you're right about the Howie Roseman part. He does have the credence of winning a Super Bowl, of building this team, and he has probably more wiggle room to do something like this than Ryan Poles does. And I think that with Ryan Poles keeping this very close to the vest last night, and you was asked the question about, you know, character. Like, clearly, it sounds like character was, you know, at play here because you let the guy pass for a future fourth-round pick, a player that they very clearly, in not getting a haul for the ninth overall pick, this isn't like some low pick in the later rounds. This is a top-10 pick, and they let him go for a future fourth. That should tell you everything you need to know about how the Bears really felt about Jalen Carter at the end of it. Ryan Poles doesn't have that credence yet. He's a second-year general manager. You're right. There is no leadership truly in this locker room yet that bring him in and feel comfortable knowing that he'd be insulated. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles are rebuilding this championship Georgia defense. Like, he goes to a place that already had Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. They end up drafting, Nolan Smith later on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's smart. You draft the best players on the defensive side of the ball from the best team. Some teams can take a higher risk at that, though, than a second-year general manager who's still trying to get this rebuild off the ground. I don't fault Ryan Poles for doing what he did. All I'm saying is that at the end of this, we had the same exercise in Minnesota. I'll give you one example with Anthony Barr. They drafted Anthony Barr because the year before they drafted Sharif Floyd, and they thought, hey, well, we don't need to go get Aaron Donald because we have Sharif Floyd, Anthony Barr's right here. Well, that flamed out. That's how we always look at these draft picks and figure out, okay, did they make the right call? Because you can look back in hindsight and say that was the right moment in the moment, but was it the right moment long term? That the jury is still going to be out on.
Let's go to Matt in Streamwood on ESPN 1000 with Courtney Cronin here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Hi, Courtney. Matt, ask you, Courtney, do you think that the Bears could have gotten more from Philly just to move up that one spot? I understand. I know we got their fourth-round pick for the Robert Quinn deal. Or was it just basically Howie Roseman getting back at Ryan Poles for, you know, trading for Robert Quinn and not getting anything from him? I just think they could have gotten at least a third-round pick this year or something more in this year's draft than waiting for next year's fourth round pick for them.
Courtney, what do you think of that?
I understand the logic, and I can understand some of the frustration because you look earlier in the first round, like only a couple picks higher, where Detroit and Arizona do that swap at six. And, of course, the third round pick with Arizona and Houston, and you see future first rounders. And that makes sense if you're looking at that saying, hey, I think the Bears could have gotten more, but Philadelphia was going to call the Bears bluff on this. It's pretty obvious that, you know, this was a player that fell to Chicago, and everybody was collectively holding their breath to see what the Bears would do at this spot, if they would draft Jalen Carter or if they would let him pass. And I think Ryan Poles was smart to not just let him fall to Philadelphia without getting something in return. And I had heard some buzz earlier in the week. I said this on TV on Wednesday, that their team Philadelphia was a team that was afraid Chicago was going to be in their way. They knew that the way that this thing and all of their simulations was going to pan out, that the team they would have to beat to get Jalen Carter was probably Chicago. Now, I don't know if they felt that they were going to have to give up more to get him, but Chicago stood in their way, and it makes sense now when you take a look at this whole thing that Ryan Poles was if he wasn't going to pass up on this, if he wasn't going to take this player anyways, to not just simply pass up on him and to get a draft pick for next year, that's not that you get something in return to let yourself know, okay, I made the right decision and I have something that I can use for next year. But I too, like in the moment, was looking at that thinking, that's not a whole ton of draft capital, the pick swap and then the future fourth. And I can understand Bears fans looking at that and saying, this is a top 10 pick. Maybe they could have gotten more. But again, you know, you've got to play your cards right. And I think everybody was going to call the Bears bluff on that and say, well, you're not taking him anyways. Why are we going to give you more for a player that you're going to pass on?
So, Courtney, as you look at this depth chart, oh, my depth chart changed because Darnell Wright's on it now. Nate Davis, Lucas Patrick, Cody Whitehair, Braxton Jones. How urgent should the Bears be to add more to the offensive line in day two?
I think that if you can get some interior depth today, that's a nice way to come away from day two, where you have 53, 61, and 64. There's certainly the need along the defensive line. I have them going edge rusher at 53 because the run has kind of started. It began around pick 27 last night, and we'll see if they end up trying to move up. I don't know if that scenario is going to present itself, but again, we'll see. But the offensive line is still, you know, the interior is still a concern. And you mentioned Lucas Patrick and Cody Whitehair. You know, we still have Tevin Jenkins in this mix, probably at left guard. Do they want to try to get another guard in there? Do they want to go draft their center of the future? Because Cody Whitehair probably doesn't have that many more years in Chicago, considering the contract and considering the age. So we'll see. But I think with three picks tonight, this is going to be a very important night for Ryan Poles as he tries to build this thing further, because there's defensive players and defensive needs at tackle, at edge rusher, and cornerback that would be a good thing to address tonight before you can start looking towards the depth pieces for tomorrow and then certainly finding guys who have special teams qualities on them too.
You know, it's amazing. I just walked over to Johnny's computer, Courtney. The Bears have updated the depth chart already at 7:45 this morning. Tevin Jenkins is not a starter. Not a starter. And if you ask the average Bears fan, someone who pays attention, oh, the best offensive lineman prior to last night is Tevin Jenkins. He's not listed among the five. I find that very, very interesting. I still don't think Cody Whitehair's a center. They've tried this with multiple regimes that didn't work out. I could see him, maybe you know better than me, you pay much closer attention to the cap and you're very well versed in it. I could see them not using Cody Whitehair as a starter on this team, saving that money. I don't know about the Lucas Patrick thing. I think they're going to get a starting level center, whether that's John Michael Schmitz, the kid up at Minnesota, Juice Scruggs, the kid at Penn State, the kid Joe Tippmann at Wisconsin, or the kid at Ohio State. I heard they like all four. I don't think they're done on the O-line, but the Tevin thing stuns me. You?
Yeah, I mean, that is surprising. I'm honestly surprised they're up this early updating the depth chart. They typically don't do those things and put them out publicly until you get a little bit further into the offseason. Who knows? Maybe it's a clerical error. It's interesting that Tevin's not on there as a starter when it has been made clear to a lot of us that he will be in the mix for that left guard spot because they are going to play Nate Davis at right guard. And kind of I just want to branch off that really quick. So, like, we know Nate Davis, he played right guard in Tennessee, the Titans, that is, and that's where he's going to start this year. There's some question about, well, is Darnell Wright a right tackle? Is he a left tackle? I think he starts at right tackle for a lot of obvious reasons that need to be said again. You play the player where he's most comfortable. You play the player where he's had the most success. Is the positional flexibility a bonus? Absolutely, because if you need to move him over to left tackle, you can. Right now, they don't necessarily have that need because Braxton Jones showed that he can man that left tackle spot. If he gets another year under his belt where he looks stronger and he's, you know, the whole anchor thing that they talk about is really big part of this equation, because you've got to be able to hold your ground against elite edge rushers, which I think he's getting better at. But I think that Darnell Wright ends up at that right tackle spot because of all of the obvious reasons of that's where he's most comfortable. But, you know, to your point about what they do tonight, the kid from Minnesota, John Michael Davis, is That one is, I think, a no-brainer if he's there, because he was projected as like a very early second round. I had seen some, you know, some loose mocks that he might end up even sneaking into the end of the first round, but that would be a good target for them. They're not done on the O-line. Think about what they did last year. They had 4 picks on day 3, and when Ian Cunningham talked this week, he said that just because they might draft one in round 1 won't preclude them from doing it again at a later date, and the later date could very well be in a couple hours.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate your time. Have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. How about that?
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Your calls on the Bears next, shot or no shot at 8 o'clock on Chicago's Home for Sports.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hey, we got a programming note for you. Guess what? You know what's going to happen. Darnell Wright, the newest Chicago Bear, he is going to be on Waddle and Sylvie at 2:30 today. So make sure that you tune in for Waddle and Sylvie starting at 2, but Darnell Wright scheduled to be with the guys at 2:30 right here on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Got to get at least 2 more offensive linemen in the next 9 picks, because if you look at how they're building this line, Shay, do you know what Cody Whitehair's cap hit is? I want to say it's like $14 million. He is not a center. 2 different regimes have tried him at center. It didn't work. He can't play that position. So unless you're going to keep him at guard, I found it really interesting that you have the official Bears depth chart. Mm-hmm. And you bring it up this morning, and while you're doing it, they update it.
Darnell Wright.
And Darnell Wright starting at right tackle, and Tevin Jenkins, not a starter. Take that.
Cody Whitehair cap hit is $14.1 million.
That's what I thought.
But they can save $9.9 million by cutting him after June 1st.
Okay, so let's see how the rest of the 2 days of the draft left, tonight and tomorrow, go. They have to get a starting level center.
That's fine, but you still got to rush the passer.
Agreed.
You got to find defensive line help. Don't go too deep for it, Cap. I expect something today to be done. You got to take care of that. You took care of the offensive line. I need defensive ends. I need 2 left defensive tackles. I need right defensive tackle. I need for them to be able to find some guys, the next generation of those guys, too.
I also, is Chase Young going to get traded? Because if he is, there's a lot of talk that the Commanders are going to trade him. I know he's missed a lot of games. He's got 1 year left. He didn't pick up the 5th-year option. That's a chance to find the former number 2 overall pick. I know he had a knee injury. If he's healthy, absolutely would be interested in taking a shot at a guy like Chase Young. That's 1. 2, I know he's not a great player, but what, just for a year, why not sign Jadeveon Clowney? I was talking about this with my brother. He's like, give him a 1-year deal. Who cares?
We approve a deal for him and for the Bears.
Correct.
So
he's not holding anybody back at this point. He's a veteran. If he's a decent human being, bring him in. But I want to see a starting level center, whether it's the kid from Minnesota. He's a Flossmore kid. He's 24. John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota, first team All-American. I gave you 4 Big Ten centers that Bears have done a lot of homework on that they like. Get a starting level young center who's intelligent, who can identify things on the offense. Help your quarterback out. Continue to build the line.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. We had a caller from Tennessee, from Sloppy Top, that was going to tell us about Wright.
Sloppy Top, Tennessee.
I know he was a Vol fan. If you call back, we'd love to get your thoughts. But instead, we got our guy Chris, because he's checking in from Portage Park on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. I just want to tell you guys how much more fun you brought back to just talk about the Bears.
Oh, you're the best.
Just done an awesome job of just making it fun again to talk about the Bears.
Yeah, it's a fun time. That's why, Chris, because there's a lot of speculation, but it's not negative as much as it is just you're curious about what the next step is. I guess that's why it feels different.
And that's actually why I'm calling. I haven't called the radio station forever for football. But I'll tell you guys, I was just happy they went out and found a top-tier talent at offensive line. Because I want to see our quarterback progress. And if you can take that right side and close it off and keep this kid there, and I don't care if he's pushing the running game. You know what? Push the running game. But you know what? As long as you got protection on one side, I feel a hell of a lot better today than I did yesterday.
My friend, we're glad you checked in.
So well said, and thank you for your kind words. Again, I thought you laid it out beautifully, Johnny. You go back to the way they built it back the late 70s into the 80s that culminated with that great run throughout the decade. Offensive line was awesome. Outstanding. Look at the guys, the capital. Van Horn, number 7 overall. 5, Jimbo Covert overall. Then they had Hilgi. They had Bortz. They had players there.
That's exactly right. And they're building it, trying to build it the same way. Hey, we're going to level this thing. We're going to have young players. And they say they want to build it the right way. Again, knock on wood, they figured this thing out. And they're going to do this around Justin Fields. I'm excited for the future, Cap. And 2 minutes, we'll give you a shot or no shot on Chicago's Home for Sports.